Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, and then also James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 15, 34, and James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. And I want to borrow a phrase, first of all, from 1 Corinthians 15, 34. He simply begins the verse by saying, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." That's what I want you to get there. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. And then in James chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17, in the middle of the verse, here's the phrase that I want to get out of that. "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or person avails much." And then verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. I give you these two scriptures tonight just to share with you that I sense by the Spirit that there is a wake-up call. God is giving us a wake-up call, so to speak, to the life of righteousness by which we are able to do exploits with God or for God. And we see that we're encouraged to wake up. Look at your neighbor and say, "Wake up." And then he says, James makes this statement. He says, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or person avails much." And he gives the example of Elijah under the old covenant doing wondrous things and great things. And he said, look, he's in essence saying, Elijah did these things under the old covenant, and he's encouraging us who have the righteousness of God on the inside in the new covenant. How much more should we be able to do great things and exploits for God? The question I have for you tonight is this: where are the modern day righteous Elijahs that are going out across the land doing great exploits for God? You know, we have people that are content to sit at home. We have people that are content to have life as it always is. And we have people that are things haven't changed much. They don't know that it's supposed to. And we have people that have no sense of righteousness because they haven't been taught. And then sometimes we who have been taught need to be stirred up concerning our righteousness in God, in Christ. Amen. And so I want to encourage you tonight as we look for just a few minutes into this subject of being the righteousness of God in Christ, that God wants us to rise up in His righteousness. Why? Because He wants us to do mighty exploits for God. And being the righteousness of God positions us to be able to flow in the righteousness of, in the mighty power of God. In the mighty power of God. Listen, you know, the day we have people that say, you know, that, you know, it doesn't matter what we do. You know, I've accepted Jesus, and so it doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And I'm not arguing that point with you, but what I am arguing with you tonight is this issue. And that is this: if you're doing whatever you want to do and not living within the boundaries or the consciousness of God, the righteousness that you have in Christ, how little can you get done for God? You're not walking in what God says you could walk in. You're not maximizing your efforts with the power of God. Am I preaching to the right crowd tonight? Come on, let me give a little feedback tonight. I know it's Wednesday, it's Sunday night, and it's raining outside, but I'm going to tell you something. We got something to get excited about. We got the great truths of the Bible to stir us up. We need to realize that God has given us something good on the inside. Amen. You didn't come empty-handed. Maybe you felt wet and bedraggled and you came sliding in, you know, out of the rain and out of the water. But I want to tell you something. That's just the outside. But when we start talking about the inside, we're talking about some really powerful things. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have been created a new creation in Christ. Amen. You've been created with a purpose in life. God has a plan for your life. He gave you that righteousness so that you could walk in that plan. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Tonight, as a young Christian, I remember thinking about something that I needed prayer for. And it was during the day during the week. And I just thought to myself, oh, if I could just get to my pastor, then I could have, God would answer his prayer because he's a righteous person. And I didn't think I was. And I want you to know something. Listen to me, friend. That is one of the great robbers of our faith, is when we don't have a sense of righteousness, the Christ's righteousness in us, when we forget who we are in Christ. I'm not talking about your good deeds. I'm talking about Christ's good deeds. I'm not talking about how much you've done so far. I'm talking about what Christ did at Calvary for us. Oh, yes. Amen. And I want you to realize when we're talking about the righteousness of God, we're talking about having right standing with God. You know what? I say it this way sometimes. The ability to stand right in the presence of God. Right before the throne room of God. You know? One other person said it this way, to come into the presence of God without any sense of wrong or shame. Isn't that something? Now, how many of you could honestly lift your hand and say, you know, since I'm a Christian, I've never done one thing wrong? Well, you know, listen to me. But listen to me, I want to tell you something. I'm going to encourage you to quit counting. Quit counting that stuff. Put it under the blood and don't count it anymore. Don't keep track of it anymore. Why? I'm telling you, man, get it under the blood. Throw yourself on God's mercy and just begin to tap into what he has for you. God is not, when it's put under the blood, God's not counting it anymore. Amen. You say, well, now you've messed up three times this very day. On the very same thing. We just don't know if you're allowed that anymore. No, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about awake to righteousness and sin not. That's not the reason we're saying that. What we're saying is this, that if we don't awake to the righteousness of God, become conscious of the righteousness of God in us. Listen to me. We put ourselves in a position where we can't fully flow with God and what he wants us to do in our life. My friend, listen to me. God's got so much for you. And God wants to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about you. And so we need to realize that the Christian life is one of being righteous and also doing righteousness. Come on, say it. Say it with me. Being righteous and doing righteous. Or you could say it this way then, that we have to deal with both our position of righteousness and our practice of righteousness. Isn't that right? Isn't that exciting that we get to be involved in both? Wouldn't it be sad if we had a position in righteousness, but now we had to sit on the sidelines and not allowed to do anything? That would be kind of sad, wouldn't it? You'd just be a spectator. Matter of fact, you got to pay to get in the game. That'd be kind of sad, wouldn't it? But no, God's asked us to be players on the field. And you know what? The players, the participators always get the benefits. They always get paid. And God does not owe any man anything. He always makes sure that you get paid, glory to God. Now, you might tell somebody you need to take note of that one. God always pays his bills. God never owes anybody, and he will always pay. He pays good benefits, amen? So my first thought to you tonight... Said all that to get to my first thought. Yes, through Christ, we have a position of righteousness with God. We have that. We're not trying to get it as Christians, but as a Christian, you have a position of righteousness. You say, how in the world can that be? Well, let's read two scriptures. First of all, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm going to go fairly fast tonight. I'm just telling you, I got my running shoes on and I'm already warmed up. Ready to rock and roll. I'm telling you, this morning just gave me something brand new to share with you tonight that I've never preached on, and I'm telling you, I've been feeding on it all day. So I'm full up. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Amen. Might look at your neighbor and say, "Now that's, I know that's talking about you and me. You and me, both of us." And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It tells us this right here. "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And so Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my sanctification. Jesus is my redemption. Jesus is my wisdom. You see what I'm saying? So if I have Christ in me and I'm in Christ, let me tell you something. I can boldly say that I have the wisdom I need. I have the righteousness I need. I have the sanctification I need. I have the redemption that I need. I'm in good shape, glory to God. Isn't that right? And so I'm excited about that. Albert Barnes said this about this 2 Corinthians 5:21, "Become the righteousness of God in him," that phrase right there. He said it this way. This is a Hebraism meaning the same as divinely righteous. It means that we're made righteous in the sight of God. That is, we are accepted as righteous and treated as righteous by God on account of what the Lord Jesus has done. It's not what we have done. My God, you know, if we wanted to know what you have coming or what benefits you got coming based on your own merits, we just have to look at your life before you got saved. And if your life is like mine, I'd probably be in the hole. I'd be in the red. I would be owing instead of having any benefits, because I just didn't do so well without Christ. But oh, when Christ came into my life. When Christ came into my life, that doesn't mean I didn't have trials and troubles and tribulation. But let me tell you something. Christ was there in all of it with me. And he made a way out every time. So by being born again, we receive the righteousness of God. We receive the righteous nature of God in us. That's deposited in us. Listen to me. When the moment you got born again, let me tell you, some kind of surgery happened on the inside of you. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that old sinful nature that you inherited from Adam was taken out, and there was a spiritual nature of righteousness deposited inside of you. The neat thing is, you didn't even have to go under anesthesia to have that surgery. Isn't that great? He is the great surgeon who makes things right on the inside. He has the ability to go in, and he has the ability to penetrate to the deepest and to the most secret and utmost parts within us. And he can take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And so by being born again, we receive the righteousness of God. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary said, "Not merely righteous, but righteousness itself. And not merely righteousness, but the righteousness of God." Now listen to this. "Because Christ is God, and what he is, we are. And he is made of God unto us righteousness." Listen to me. That's a main line. That's not some far out commentary. That's a main line commentary that's been in existence for many years. This is not some, somebody that's over into the Word of Faith camp, came up with some kind of commentary. This is a mainline commentary. I got to read that again. "Not merely righteous, but righteousness itself. And not merely righteousness, but the righteousness of God, because Christ is God. And what he is, we are. And now listen to this. And he is made of God unto us righteousness." Listen to me. What does that really mean? Well, it's like Mark Hankins said, God did not give us second-class righteousness. God did not consign you to second-class righteousness to fly. You don't fly coach through this life. You fly first-class righteousness all the way through life. You fly in the same cabin that God does, if you want to say it that way. The same righteousness that God has. Listen to me. I don't understand it. I read one commentary and they wanted to say that it wasn't the righteousness of God that we got.
But I started, when I read that, I started reading faster because I didn't want it to stick to me. Because I already knew what the scripture said. I thought, oh my goodness, they put that in print. But my friend, listen to me. I want you to realize that God, the righteousness of God is not in degrees. There's not, you know, quasi-righteousness and almost righteousness and then the very righteousness. No, my friend, it's the righteousness of God and that's it. You get one kind. Everybody's got the same kind. God has the same kind of righteousness. You got the same kind of righteousness that Jesus does. You have the same kind of righteousness that God does. It's inside of you. He said you can come to God anytime because you have right standing. You have the right to stand here in the presence of God. Amen. Boy, if we can get some of these things down in us. Before being born again, we had no right to come to God. We couldn't come to God. Why is that? Because of our sinful condition, which we inherited being in the lineage of Adam. Adam, you know, kind of did a great number there in the garden that's kind of memorable. You know, he ate of the fruit along with his wife. And somebody said one time it wasn't so much the apple on the tree as it was the pear on the ground. But, you know, you have to realize, I don't know what kind of fruit it was, and that's not important. It's the fact is that the pair on the ground, the pair of humans on the ground, did something they weren't supposed to do, and they lost the righteousness they had. And they had the sinful nature of God, of the enemy that came into them. And so because we are in their lineage, we ended up with the same condition. But you see, here's the thing. The sinful nature we inherited from Adam is what makes us sinners. It's not whether you were good or bad. I've met people who said, I'm a good person. I should be allowed to go to heaven. But see, that's not the question. The reason that we need to be born again is because we're in the wrong family. We're in Adam's family. We need to be in Christ's family. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I start seeing truths like this, something starts growing on the inside. Something starts getting bigger. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a spirit of faith rises up when you start getting these truths inside of you. You know what it does? You know, it kind of does something to you. Kind of makes you want to stand up on your back feet, like if you know, like a spirit of faith like that makes a mouse stand up on its back feet, pound its chest, and ask where the cat is. You know, that's just how you feel when you get these truths in you. You want to stand up, pound your chest, and say, "Where's that devil's been causing me problems?" You see what I'm saying? But this is good stuff. Just look at your neighbor and say, "This is good stuff." I had this happen to me one time when I was going through Rhema. We were going through Rhema second year, you know, and we had this guy had all his tuition paid. Governor Rockefeller out of West Virginia paid his room and board and tuition. He had a free ride because he worked for Governor Rockefeller, and he agreed to Governor Rockefeller agreed to let him go for 2 years. And so we didn't have a lot, and so somehow or other, we got together and everything, and he'd take us to these places, you know, steak places and these just all this fancy food. Now, I didn't have enough money to buy a hamburger after my bills are paid, see? So I didn't have a hamburger and french fries forever, and I was a cheeseburger kid before I got married, you know. I thought that's what life's whole menu was, cheeseburgers and french fries. And so finally, one day, we went into this place, and I ordered a cheeseburger and french fries. I just was hungry for a cheeseburger and french fries, you know. And boy, did he get upset. He said, "I didn't bring you here for junk food. I didn't bring you here for bad food, that kind of stuff. You order good food when I bring you in here, or I'm not going to give you a meal anymore." And I want to tell you something. Sometimes we've been feeding on so much junk that we want to long to go back to the old junk that we used to have. But God says we've got the righteousness of God. We've got to rise up to the good stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm going to, if we don't get excited, then I'm going to start preaching to the wall and see if the wall will respond. I'm telling you, man, when you see things like this, it just excites me. You see, the sinful nature we had, you see, because a person is a sinner, that's why he sins. You shouldn't be surprised if a sinner sins. That's his nature. He'll do what he is. It's like the snake that crawled into the tent and said, I'm cold. And the master said, okay, you can come in and sleep if you'll behave yourself. And in the middle of the night, the snake just bit the man, and the man was dying. And he said, you were my friend. He said, I befriended you. And he said, why did you bite me? And he said, the snake says, because I'm a snake. You have to understand sinners sin because that's what they are. That's their nature. But we who are Christians are righteous, and we ought to do righteous things because that's what we are. Amen? And so we have to realize that. And so as a child of, you see, if we're not born again, then we can't come to God. We're not allowed the rights and privileges of the kingdom. Why? It's kind of like me going to a foreign country. And, you know, I can't go up and expect the government to give me the same rights and privileges as the citizens do. Because I don't belong to that country. I'm not a native. I'm not a national. I'm not a citizen. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I'm a foreigner and a stranger there. Therefore, I don't have the same privileges. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 says it this way. It says, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called uncircumcision made in the flesh by hands. That's a fancy long phrase to say that we who are not born again. Do you see what I'm saying? That at that time you were without Christ. And it says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen to me. Strangers to the covenants of promise. In other words, he says this, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were strangers, you were pilgrims, you were foreigners in the kingdom, as far as the kingdom of God was concerned. You didn't belong there because you didn't have Christ in your life. But when you give your life to Christ, you're entitled to the kingdom, rights and privileges. But so many times problems come and trials come and troubles come. And the enemy knows that whenever most people will focus on their troubles, their trials, and their tests and the things that they're going through. And they forget who they really are. That they are the righteousness of God. See, you've got to learn to feed on these truths. And so when trouble shows up, the righteous nature of God rises up in you. I don't know who devil who you think you're messing with, but I just want you to know I'm a child of the King with King with I got royal privileges. Glory to God. I've got full access to the kingdom of God. I've got power and I've got authority and I've got promises and I've got plans from high on high and I've got the purpose of God living on the inside. You can't kill me because I'm full of the purpose of God. I'm full of the power of God. I got the promises of God rolling around in me, stirring me up. I've got the righteousness of God. If that isn't enough, listen to me. You better scoot while you can, because if you don't quit messing with me, I'm going to march right into the throne room of God, and God himself shall come and shall remove you out of the kingdom. You're a thief and a liar and a murderer and all kinds of bad things, and you're just not gonna have anything happen to me. You're not gonna do it. You thought I was a wimp, but I'm telling you, I'm a winner in Christ. So the great exchange happened at the cross. what happened? Jesus took my sin, my unrighteousness. And what did he do? And he gave us his righteousness. And that's why we can, that's what happens at the new birth. We experience that. Christ did it at the cross, but we step into it when we get born again. What does that mean? That means whatever rights and privileges that Jesus has, get this. Now listen to me, this will switch some religious circuit breakers, but if they are, you need to just change your circuit breakers. Get a bigger one that won't flip. Listen to me. But you and I, who are born again, have the same rights and privileges in the kingdom of God that Jesus does. We've got the same righteousness. I said we got the same righteousness, the same right standing. We've got the same. We've got the right to be a child of God. We've got the same right to come to the Father God. If Jesus could come, we can come. If Jesus said, if the promises of God are available to him, they're available to us. His right to God's help and power is what we've got. We've got the same right to ask for his help and his power. I'm telling you. His right to God's forgiveness. I'm telling you, there's no need to beat yourself up if you do something wrong. Put it under the blood. He's willing to forgive. He provided forgiveness 2,000 years ago before you ever did wrong. But listen to me. He's willing to let you experience that the moment you ask him. Come on now. Oh my goodness. He's been given authority. And Matthew 28 says, now you go in that authority is what it implies. And you don't have to go empty handed. You arrive with authorization to do exploits. See, Jesus gave us the same rights and privileges he has with the Father God and with the kingdom of God. If Jesus quotes a verse and I quote a verse or you quote a verse before the Father God, and we do it in faith, there's no difference. God would just as soon answer us and grant us those desires as he would Jesus. We have the same standing. Let me come to the second truth. And that is this, that we are to practice righteousness because Christ's righteousness is in us. And that is this, 1 John 2:29, it says this, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. That means this, that the righteous things that you do are born out of or spring forth from the righteousness of God that's within you. It's not me doing it, it's Christ doing it through me. We've got to get that down in us. Instead of looking at, oh my God, I've got these Christian duties to do. I got to pay my tithes. It's like one guy said to me, he said, oh my God, if Christianity would just be simple. But you know, it's all these things we've got to do. And he has this duty mentality. You better do this and you better do that. And I got to tithe and I got to attend church and I got to pray and I got to read my Bible. And I got to be, I got to do a whole bunch of other stuff, you know. And he said, oh my God, if I just don't know how in the world I'm going to do it. Well, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. I said, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. You depend on him. That's what I'm saying. Out of the righteousness of Jesus, you can do whatever the Bible tells you to do. When you look at a verse and say, how in the world am I going to do it? Just remember, Jesus, you can help me. You've given me the right standing to come before God and ask for his help. So I'm asking for help to do what you said in your word. I'm not alone in this matter. And so I got to, not only do I have the position of righteousness, but now I have the privilege of practicing righteousness. I don't know about you, but let me tell you, the practicing righteousness is not some duty I do, but it is the privilege of walking in the rights and the benefits of the kingdom. And anytime somebody comes along and says, well, what do you think I can do and still be saved? They don't have a righteousness conscience. They have a sin consciousness. They're focusing on minimum requirements instead of maximum output. And so they're looking at how close they can feed to the fence instead of being out in the middle of the pasture feeding where the grass is good and where there's no obstacles and where there's no danger. I'm telling you, no use messing around the fence when you can have the whole pasture. I'm just telling you, listen to me. Sometimes we just got to get our thinking turned around. God intended that the right we do is to spring forth from the righteous nature within. It is not just some duty we do. It's a right and privilege we have. When I was growing up, I decided to sleep in one morning, and we had a dairy farm, and everybody's up at 5 a.m. sharp. So I decided to sleep in one morning because my friend did it, and I thought that would be interesting. And it did become interesting because my father came looking for me. And he proceeded to wake me to righteousness, to do the right things that I'm supposed to be doing right then. And we had chores to do. And oh, my God, we got chores to do. And we got cows to milk. And we got hay to feed. And we got calves that are hungry. And we got chickens that need water. And we got, you know, this and we got that. And oh, my goodness, we got to get it all done before breakfast. And then after breakfast, we got to go to school. And so us boys, we looked at it as chores, duties, tasks. And so many times, my friend, that's what we look at Christianity as. It's chores, duties, tasks. Oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. Have you seen my list? You know, I found out, though, that God is not uptight about my situation. He's been at this for a few thousand years. You understand what I mean? He's been helping people for a few thousand years. He's really good at it. He knows what I need. He knows how to help me. So Christian living is not intended to be some kind of chores we do. It is completing our righteous assignment because we have been authorized by God himself. We are able to walk in his righteousness because God has given us his ability to do right. I don't know about you, but I love getting in the flow. How many of you have ever been on a river or a cruise or something and you just flow with the current? Isn't that a cool thing to do? I want to tell you something. Why don't you flow with God's currents of righteousness and just begin to, out of those currents of righteousness, begin to do the things that you need to do. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you with that. And so we're able to walk. Say, we're able to walk in righteousness because God has given us his righteousness, his ability to do right. The last point is this, the last idea I want to share with this is this, that we can partake of the reality of Christ's righteousness in our lives by a couple of things that the scripture tells us to do. How can we maximize living consciously of who we are as the righteousness of God? Well, the very first thing is we got to do what John said, and he stated that we can walk in righteousness by the provision of the blood of Jesus Christ. We keep the blood of Jesus active in our life. What does it say? 1 John 1:7, and then also in verse 9. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That blood puts us on a whole new level of living. And then in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, sometimes we look over that and we skip over it and we've heard it so many times. How many of you, it's a familiar scripture to you? You could probably quote it because, you know, I'll tell you the truth about it. It's familiar to me because I've had to use it so often. I know that's how come we get familiar with it, because we have to use it so much. And that's a good thing. We get familiar with it. But just because we're familiar with it, we should not lose our consciousness of the power of that truth. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just the act, not just a little bit and leave some kind of sense of shame. No, he cleans up everything. The blood is able to remove the shame and the guilt and the very wrongdoing itself. and puts us in a position, in a condition where it's as if we'd never done it. And if you bring it up to God, He's not gonna. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Well, He does know, but He's not gonna bring it up. You see, we must depend upon the blood. If you mess up, put it under the blood fast as you can. Insist on walking in righteousness. Devil, you're not gonna get me sidetracked. I might have just. You know how many of you have driven down the road and they've got these, on the interstates now, they've got these ridges, you know, along the side, you know, and you know, your spouse is sleeping over there and all of a sudden you drift over and my wife jumps on, what's going on, Marvin? You know, kind of thing, you know, or I'm sleeping and she drifts over and I say, hon, what's the matter? You just come out of sleep. You know, how many of you have done that? Come on, I want to be in some company. I'm not alone in this, am I? You know what I'm saying? And so what we do, listen to me, but what do? We don't just stay over there just because we got over there. Oh, my God, I'm over on the ridges now. I guess it's just my lot in life. I just got to drive on the ridges. No, my friend, you got off of it as soon as you can. Isn't that right? You got some sense. I mean, Mom, you know when Mom, well, I won't go there. But anyway, I'll say it about me. When mom brought me into the world, she didn't bring in a dummy. I know enough to get off the ridges and start driving in the lane again. Just because I got over a little bit doesn't mean I stay there. You understand what I mean? And so you have to realize, put it under the blood. Depend upon the blood. Call upon the blood. And say, no, I'm the righteousness of God. I might have drifted a little bit. Put it under the blood. I'm right back in the lane. I'm right on track, God. And you know, I noticed this. Just because I got over a little bit and I had to get back on track, I didn't have to go back where I started the journey. I can take off from right back. As soon as I get back on track, I just keep going. Isn't that right? But if you listen to some people, they think he holds up a sign and says, go home. If you mess up a little bit, just go home and don't come out for a while. But see, that's not Christianity that God intended. God intended for you to rise up in righteousness. Put it under the blood. Tell your neighbor, put it under the blood. I feel so sorry for people who don't believe 1 John 1:9 is for Christians. You take that away, what do you got? Don't get quiet on me right now. Maybe you're quiet because you're trying to think there isn't anything other than your own well-being, your own efforts. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm fed up with that. I got to the end of that, you know, some 40 years ago now. And then Paul said this, that we are to possess righteousness by faith. He said in Romans 1:21 and verse 22, but the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. And then in Philippians 3:9 says it this way, Philippians 3:9, Paul said this about himself. And you could say this is also about me. He said, be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, but which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Say faith. The righteousness which is from God by faith. How do I walk in righteousness? By faith. I believe in the righteousness of God. I believe what the Bible says about the righteousness of God. I begin to say what the righteousness of God is mine. And then I begin to act on the righteousness of God. You know, it doesn't feel like I can act. You know, I do the right thing. I don't know if I got the strength to keep doing the right thing, but I'm going to lean back in the righteousness of God, and I'm going to depend upon the ability of God to do the right thing. I might be at the end of my rope, but you know, God's got a whole long new rope that I can explore. Amen. Not only that, I don't have to explore it. I can count on this. I'm at the end of my rope, His rope holds me. Amen. When I get to the place where I can't hang on and I'm slipping down, let me tell you something. His hand reaches down. He throws me another rope. I got to believe. You wake up some morning and the symptoms are pounding on your brain and in your body or whatever it might be, and you go, oh my God. Well, you see, listen to me. That doesn't mean you're less righteous than you were when you were feeling good. You're still the righteousness of God. You still have the right to come to God and say, by His stripes I'm healed. I've got access to that promise. I've got access to that provision. I'm getting that into my life right now. Father, thank you. You put your hand on me right now. Let that healing power flow right now. And I thank you that I'm receiving healing because I can access it because of the righteousness of Christ in my life. Amen. Not coming on my righteousness. I'm coming on based on what He did. Hallelujah. Because of what He did, and I've received Him. You know, that Paul said it this way, if you receive Christ, how much more shall you not have all the rest? Is what he asked in Romans chapter 8. You can have all the rest. Amen. So we do that. And then James tells us to pray based on our righteousness in Christ. That is another thing that you can do as a person attempting to partake of the righteousness of God. Call upon God based on the righteousness of Christ in you. You know, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. You can get a lot done in the kingdom of God if you know that you're a righteous person, depending on righteousness, depend on the righteousness of God. Let me tell you something. You got to fight for a sense of righteousness in your life. It's called the fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 and 12 says it this way, and it's my last scripture. But you, O man of God, or woman of God, look at your neighbor and say, this must be talking about you. It says, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Pursue it. You have righteousness, but you got to pursue it. It's kind of a tension, you know. What does it mean? When I have it, why do I have to pursue it? Well, listen to me. You might have it in your heart, and you do have it in your heart, no doubt. But you listen to me. It's your brain. It's your mind. It's the thoughts that you have in your head. You got to remind yourself to think the right thoughts. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And what I did is just a mistake. It's not really who I am. I just got over and drove on the ridges just a little bit. But I'm back on track. I'm claiming the full benefits of being righteous in Christ. I receive forgiveness. I receive blessing. I receive restoration. I receive redemption. And I receive all that you have for me, Lord God. I'm glad I'm back on track. I'm glad I'm doing well able to do what you told me to do. And so that's the fight of faith. To keep, it says, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, fight. Look at your other neighbor and say, you've been wanting to fight, now you got something to fight for. Amen. Stand up with me if you would. I want you to realize, lay hold, the rest of the verse says, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want to tell you something. The Bible, I don't have time to get into it, but there is a crown of righteousness that awaits us. And I want to tell you something. We are those, as we pursue the righteousness of God, we practice righteousness. We partake of the righteousness. We're conscious of our position of righteousness. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. You can increase your quality of life. You can increase the things that you can do for God. You can increase your effectiveness in the kingdom. Amen. Lift your hands up to the Lord and thank Him for it right now. I want to pray for those of you right now. I'm not going to call you forward, but you can come tell me about it if you want to afterwards. But I believe that the Lord told me to pray for those of you that have been discouraged. Discouraged in your walk with God, or you've been fearful to step out into what God has said. If you're that way, I want you to just keep your hands up, and the rest of you can keep your hands up too because you're worshiping God. That's all right. But I want to pray for those of you that have been discouraged and fighting discouragement and fear, and those of you that might have a sense of shame or guilt that you have been able to get rid of. And I want to pray. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now. for those that are discouraged and those that are fearful and those that may have a sense of shame or a guilt. They're dealing with guilt or condemnation. And we rebuke the enemy that would lay that on them in the name of Jesus and torment them. I rebuke the torment of the enemy, the activity of the enemy. I break your power, devil, over these people in Jesus' name. And I loose the power of God upon them right now, that they may be conscious of the righteousness of Christ that they have within, that they have been made righteous in Christ, that they are able to do righteous things. They're able to do the right things because of God's ability to do within them to do those things. They can depend upon God's righteous ability in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for ministering to them now. And we say in the name of Jesus, do we declare you free? We declare you free. We declare you free. We declare you free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands up and begin to thank him. You begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him. Tell him God is a good God. God is, thank you, Father, for delivering me. Thank you, Father, for delivering me from discouragement. Thank you for delivering me from every oppression, from every fear, from every sense of shame, and every sense of guilt in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving me a sense of righteousness that I can boldly come into the throne of grace to obtain help in the time of need. We thank you for it now. We praise you for it now. And we bless you, Lord, for doing good things in your people. Now, Lord, I thank you that you are able to move through these people to go into the world, wherever they go, that they're assigned and they're equipped to do good works, righteous works. You can do those things right through them, and they're able to do great exploits in your name. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The truth shall make you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've got these people up here. They're ready to pray with you about any need that you might have. And they're not a counseling service, you know. That's not what they are. But they will share some Bible scriptures with you and pray with you. They'll add their faith to yours. So if you have a need that you want prayed for, come to them and they'll do that. And so did we have any first time? We didn't have any first time guests. Well, we want to thank you for coming, for braving. I know some of you felt like you needed a boat to get here, but that's all right. God enabled you to come here. And I want to tell you something. I appreciate every one of you. I'm proud to be in the Rhema family, the family of God, that portion of the family of God that understands the privileges and rights that they have in the kingdom of God. Isn't it good to be in this kind of company? Amen. All right. All right. Well, you have a great week. I know Wednesday evening we got a great menu for you again. You just come and feast at the Lord's table. Glory to God. And get ready for the rest of the week. Have a power boost in the middle of the week. Amen. All right. Shake hands with somebody. Bless them in the name of the Lord. And if you need prayer, come and down to these people.